This is Coaching as Benevolence, a podcast for people who are curious about using coaching for self-development. I'm Erin with Roots and Wings Grief and Loss Coaching.
And I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place Positive Intelligence Coaching.
So we are back from the Thanksgiving holiday, and we are here in the holiday season. And we thought it might be helpful to our listeners to be very vulnerable and share, at least me share, a bit of my own struggle that has been a part of my life for quite some time, but how it has shown up throughout the holidays, really thinking about how sometimes the teacher is the worst student when it comes to utilizing coping mechanisms and tools and that sort of thing. So just to give a broader framing, I've been diagnosed with bipolar disorder that I've been grappling with over the past, gosh, how many years has this been, throughout my adulthood. And with this disorder, I think there's a lot of misunderstanding. One of the things that shows up for me is that I feel things on a sensory level that I think is a lot different than the people around me. And so that's hard to describe or explain, especially when I'm in the throes of a depressive part of the bipolar diagnosis. So long story short, we're at the holidays and I went from 0 to 100 with like no consideration and really lashed out at a couple of family members. And I think for me, I want to be vulnerable and share that to kind of open up that space for us to be broken and still human and to own mistakes, but also to bring more awareness to mental health during the holidays and in the season and how challenging they can be for someone who is actively managing a mental health diagnosis, whether that is depression, anxiety, OCD, bipolar, so many others. But what I have found to be helpful in navigating this diagnosis is coaching. I've found other modalities helpful as well. So today, LaShawn is an amazing positive intelligence coach, and she has agreed to provide some coaching for me, maybe in thinking about how I repair and how I grow forward through all of this. So I'll toss it over to LaShawn, and I look forward to getting this support.
Thank you, Erin. And I want to acknowledge and appreciate your vulnerability and your willingness to go through this coaching session for our listeners. I think it is such an important thing for us to do to really look at mental health, mental illness, and how it shows up in the holidays. I know so many things can be exacerbated because of the holidays, the stress of the holidays, the expectations around the holidays. So I'm honored that you would ask me to do the coaching. I'm happy to do it. And I'd like to just offer a little bit of context to our listeners about positive intelligence coaching. We look at several areas of our, I would say, our healing powers that we have as humans, and that is empathy, exploration. That's our curiosity that comes up a lot in our talks. We also look at our inner wisdom, our value system, what's really important and what really matters. And we do a little brainstorming, working together on solutions, ways forward. And then we go into action where we're looking at steps, baby steps to take towards those solutions that some that we come up with in the brainstorming, but just overall, whatever comes up. So that's just to give the listeners a context for what we're going to be doing. So thanks again, Erin, for doing this. Essentially, what you will be listening to is a coaching session, and Erin and I will just do this coaching session, and towards the end, I will see how it feels to do like a coaching nugget of wisdom, or if we'll just close out as it's just a coaching session. All right. So now we're shifting gears. I am putting on my coaching hat and Erin is going to put on her client hat and we're going to start the session. So Erin, thank you very much for doing this coaching session with me. Just to start with, where are you mentally? How are you feeling?
I am really tired And when I struggle with this part of the illness, I need so much more sleep because it's like my brain kind of feels like it shakes or wobbles in my head. And then it like just kind of needs a lot of rest to restore mm-hmm. from this. So I am a little unfocused. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling a little more balanced and almost a little bit numb in some ways.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And at this time, what will be the most helpful thing for you to kind of prepare yourself mentally and to receive, you know, whatever comes up in this session? You know, we usually do PQ reps for that, but what's going to work for you?
I would like to try a PQ rep.
Okay. What's the modality that you prefer the most? Is it sight? Is it touch? Is it hearing?
Maybe hearing today.
Okay, awesome. And okay, so we'll just do a couple minutes of just grounding in the sense of hearing. Okay, go ahead and get comfortable. Make sure your feet are flat on the floor and you're resting comfortably with your back straight. You can close your eyes or you can just take a soft focus in the room. We'll begin with a few deep breaths, okay? So we're going to breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. And as you exhale, just imagine, you know, that you're melting and relaxing your body more. In through the nose and out through the mouth. And one more deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. Now breathe normally. But turn your attention to the furthest sound you can hear. And now turn your attention to the sound that's closest to you. It could be the sound of your breathing. Hear the subtle differences between your inhale and your exhale. Turn your attention to any sounds that come up. And if any thoughts arise, just let them float away. Bring your attention back to the sounds. And now, if you feel comfortable, what would be the most important thing to focus on in our session today?
I think how I show myself self-compassion as well as tools for navigating stressors.
So self-compassion and navigating stressors. So what more can you say about self-compassion?
Well, I think for me, it was something that I didn't learn for a very long time in my life, even though, you know, like I have this plaque from all my coworkers from when I worked at the university, and compassionate and caring are like the top things that I provide to others. But I really struggle with turning that inward. Mm-hmm. And I know, I think it's Kristen Neff, her work, Dr. Kristen Neff, has been helpful with showing myself self-compassion, but it's still something I struggle with. Mm-hmm. And something I want to be able to move through kind of those bigger, hard feelings a little bit more gracefully than what I currently can do.
And when you think about self-compassion and the things that you struggle with, where does that show up?
I mean, it shows up the most within my family, my extended mm-hmm. family. Mm-hmm. I don't have as many issues with receiving compassion or integrating my own self-compassion skills in other areas. Mm-hmm. And this is not something that I struggle with my own kids. But it is something I do struggle with in my own extended family.
Anything else you can say about self-compassion?
I think for me, since I am quite sensory, like just having the physical contact of like a hug and giving myself that feels comforting. Also, not taking on other people's like fate, you know this from family constellations. For some reason, I get in my whole mind, body, soul that everybody else's, in particular to my family, everybody else's challenges, or for lack of a better word, ills, are mine to carry too. And I struggle with piecing apart those boundaries. So it's a little bit about boundaries. It's a little bit about people being aware of this illness and myself being aware of this illness and being compassionate about it. For me, it's about seeing the human in front of me. And I want to do that with myself.
What can you say about seeing the human?
Just that, like, if this was anybody else, I would try to be curious, a little more curious about like the situation. And I think I'm starting to apply that skill of curiosity to this more, which has been helpful over the years. But it is still something that I do struggle with.
Yeah, applying curiosity. All right. And then you also mentioned navigating stressors or strategies, skills for that. What can you say about that?
That we can all be equipped with strategies and skills that help us stay a little bit more buoyant through difficult times. And I think the self-compassion piece with the strategies piece with the bipolar disorder is that's where self-compassion comes in, when the strategies go out the window, mm-hmm. when they don't work, right? Like it's a bit of like, okay, that didn't work. Now what? You know, like that level of soothing the nervous system and being okay with my own faults and things like that. I think the hard part for me is when I try to force certain things into the picture that might be helpful to me, they can't be. And there are plenty of articles out there too about bipolar disorder and how those platitudes and phrases can actually be very harmful and not helpful. Mm-hmm. With this illness. So I think that's hard as well. It's just like the education that needs to go into this, not only for myself, but for those around me as well. And I try to be direct about that education. There's just never any compassionate response back.
And as you're talking, what's coming up for you? Like, what's really standing out for you?
I think just like the idea of being a work in progress, and that I have done so much personal development work that when something doesn't work, it feels almost bigger, like versus if I was just at the beginning of this journey in mm-hmm. my personal development work, this type of mistake would feel different, I think, or would feel, I just feel different. So I think right now it's coming up for me is like, a lot of like, oh, you could have done better. Or, oh, you know, the drill, like kind of thing. And so I think sometimes we can't do better and sometimes we're doing our best. And so self-compassion, I think, is also that space of just where we're at and not trying to force too much forward momentum, but just enough, just that gentle touch, right? That recognition that it takes intention and it takes time. And this is my personal process with it as well.
What would you like to take away from this session?
I think I'd like to take away a little bit more hope. I would like, you know, this isn't really coaching, but just for our audience, like just, I hope, I guess I would like for the audience to take away a broader understanding of maybe mental illness, and then also maybe how to support those who are struggling. Because I do want to highlight real quickly, and I know this is a little bit outside of the coaching and more just for the podcast in general, but look, Sean pointed out, was that about 2 weeks ago? You're like, something's a little different. Mm-hmm. And it was because I couldn't really focus. And I took that feedback And I it's like I was aware of it, but I couldn't force myself to be aware of it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so once you get into the middle of depression, it's like that awareness that would have helped in the first place, it's just not there, right? It's really hard in some ways with that awareness. So I think the other thing is, you know, how to continue to build my coping strategies and my awareness maybe up front, but also like this piece of hope and living for my kids and my partner and doing the hard work with this illness so it's not passed down generationally.
All right. So we're going to go on a journey with this this topic. And I'm going to want you to imagine that there's five doors in front of you, okay? The first door is, you know, we're going to explore. We're going to look at what's going on inside of you, what might be happening with people in the situation and the situation itself. And the second door, it's all about empathy. It's about going inside and looking at your inner child and others' inner child in the situation. In another door, we have where we're going to go deep in our inner wisdom. We're going to look at what really matters here and also what does not matter. And on another door, we have, we're going to look at ideas. We're going to brainstorm. And then in the last door, it's all about activating, taking baby steps. Which door is calling to you?
I think the wisdom door.
All right, the wisdom door. Okay, so we're going to open that wisdom door and we are going to take a journey inside. So we're going to get comfortable and we're going to, and you can close your eyes, or you can take a soft focus, whatever is comfortable for you, whatever feels safe. And take a deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. And deep breath into the nose and out through the mouth. I'm going to take one more deep breath into the nose and out through the mouth. So imagine that you are on a magic carpet and it's going to take you into a place that's outside of time and space. So it's going to be outside of your current reality. And this magic carpet is taking you to a place that's safe, a place that's familiar, and that's inside of you. So we're on this magic carpet, and we enter a place that can be real or imaginary, whichever you prefer. And we see your wiser elder self. And she's standing there. She knows that you're here. She knows why you're here. She's happy to see you. You can greet her however feels comfortable. Notice how you feel in the presence of your wiser elder self. Now you're going to ask your wiser elder self, in this current situation, what is the most important thing? Notice the answer.
That you are loved.
Notice how you feel. And now you're going to ask your wiser elder self, what is not important?
This is really interesting and confusing because it's not backing down is what's not important. And yet that's what kind of caused the struggle in the first place. And I think that is maybe a lot of wisdom in that response from her, that she knows I'm doing the hard work with good intentions, with truly good intentions. And while it's scary to speak truth to power in this other world, right? Like that doesn't even matter, right? Because it's just, there is love.
What more are you noticing?
She seems really like this older, wiser self seems a lot bigger than me. And I am of short stature, you know, so that's maybe something else about taking up space. And it's okay to take up space, because that's been the message that I've received. You know, we receive that as women often in culture, like, you just don't take up space. But this woman who I see takes up a lot of space in a compassionate, gentle, affirming way.
Anything else?
I mean, I also see her looking to my kids and those kids, and just like the generational patterns looking forward rather than being so attached to looking backwards. And, you know, I said I wanted hope. Well, that's where hope lies. Hope lies in that looking forward, really hoping that your kids have a good life, have strong values, those sorts of things. And I think just seeing the way that she's looking, this older, wiser self, and what she's looking toward is something I need to keep moving toward instead of trying to idealize something or trying to hold on to something that doesn't exist. Like, I need to be okay with letting go and moving forward.
What else comes to mind?
Right now I see her kind of reaching out her hand, and like people start showing up in a circle, and like people, she and all these other celestial creatures are holding hands in a circle of just like love and kindness. And the people that are showing up, I don't have like a specific read on that right now. It's just people.
What's happening for you?
I feel a lot lighter. You know, I feel like this has been extremely healing in terms of what I'm looking to versus what I'm looking back at. And I think the other thing is like knowing that my intentions are almost sometimes too pure in some ways, but like good, that I can be compassionate with myself because I do have good intentions. And I realize there's a difference between intention and impact and still owning one's impact. So like how I show ownership for that impact is still something I've started to do already with various apologies, and I'm continuing on that path. But also recognizing that looking forward, these next generations, they feel that love, and that both the intention and impact for them is filled with care and goodness, equity, and all these things. Like, it just, I can see that much better.
So if we look at your wiser elder self, or return to your wiser elder self, are there any other questions you have for her?
What would give me strength? Who can help me? How can I continue to help myself with this diagnosis, as well as, you know, really supporting my kids?
So notice the answer.
It's kind of like a paradox. It's like you can, and those who support you can help you. It's not just on you. And sometimes that's how it can feel, whether in grief or in mental illness, that you're so alone. And I equate it to, like, right last year, I broke my wrist and dealt with significant surgeries. It was shattered in multiple places. And that type of pain for me does not even come close to the emotional pain I can carry or feel. And I'm sure that might be how it is for a lot of people. You know, I have a stronger recognition of that. And the wisdom that I've gathered over the years has helped me acknowledge that. And now I'm in this place of ready to level up. How do I let those move through me and continue on the path of what I want to be is, and what I want to do is share compassion and love and those sorts of things. So I can't do it by myself.
How does that feel to say that?
I mean, it feels liberating. It feels honest. And You know, you talked about values being part of this. So I want to say something about my values according to the VIA strengths assessment. So my top five are love of learning, love, zest, honesty, spirituality. These are my top five strengths. So when these values come into contention with other values, it can be really challenging for me. So having that self-awareness is another tool that I like to look at this incident in my family and particularly live with, because I realize like we can't even speak the same language when our values are so different with the top parts probably. So how do you just, you know, be okay with that and still recognize the humanity in one another? And then I want to be vulnerable here and say, this is where I struggle because my lesser strength is prudence. You know, like not taking undue risks, that sort of thing. And now seeing that, going back to the survey, when I got back home, I was like, oh, okay, this is just a gentle reminder too, that I can grow that edge in myself just as much as I can grow my strengths too. So the growth, like we've talked about with the growth zone, it's very painful. It hurts in some ways. But then when we keep expanding that growth zone, I can get to a place of being okay with that pain versus like turning that pain inward onto myself and saying that I'm the problem.
Anything else you want to say about what's come up for you?
I know there's something else I want to say just about mental health in general and people who have a diagnosis or may need a diagnosis or, you know, there's other things going on. It's so hard to let go of that pain when that's just part of the illness. So while you're in significant pain, and I think it's a pain that people maybe who don't have that illness or don't feel in the same way, I'm learning that more. It took me forever to realize that. I know I was a very sensitive kid growing up, but like, but yeah, so it's just going to be that we need a little bit more support, a little more coping strategies, a little bit more opening up that wound, that pain, so that we don't take that pain and turn that knife in the wound further into our bodies. Instead, take that knife and share it with other people, and not in a way to spread the pain, but for other people to come alongside you and say, how can I help? So I think this is a little bit of a call to action just for, you know, people who have those people in their lives. And then also I do want to say too, the thing that's coming up for me is this is a, you know, mental health illnesses can be really big stressors on family members, right? So our goal is not to make anyone more stressed. It's actually almost the opposite. But then how do you navigate that stress and take care of yourself as well? And I see that. It's not like I don't notice when harm is around. In fact, I think I'm hypervigilant to it all the time, which is also another issue, right? Another challenge that that I'd love some coaching on as well. So I think what, just by talking to you with like you being so patient through our coaching session by just asking these questions and leaving plenty of space to reflect on them, I mean, I think it's just a real brilliant example about what coaches do and what they can do for people. And we live in a world where more and more and more people are neurodivergent, right? Very different in their thinking, or it was probably always there too, right? We're just starting to recognize how mainstream society, they kind of needs to meet people halfway, right? Meet people with compassion, which goes back to my original message for myself. I'm going to have self-compassion. I don't want to carry rage. I don't want to carry hatred, like those big things that we are so swimming in. And I think that's the other part that I'm struggling with too, and what the mental illness will really start to latch on to as well, is everything then goes to the bigger, 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 bigger picture. So it's like, oh, this happening here at the microscopic level is clearly evidence of what's really happening in our country, with further and further isolation with ideologies, which clearly leads to this, which clearly leads to conflicts that just cannot be resolved. And I, that's when I start to lose myself in some way and not want to be a part of the problem, but also want to be able to be an advocate for people who don't have a voice or don't have opportunities to share and feel supported. So, I mean, I think there's so many layers of what's swimming here between what's going on collectively, what's going on within myself, what's going on with the illness. And I think I cannot be the container for all of that. And I also don't have a great way for other people to help me contain that as well, right? This isn't being put on other people. I take full ownership of my journey, of the strengths and challenges, the difficulties, the setbacks, the hope. And, you know, my, you saw my top five. Honesty is in my top five. I think I just want to be able to live in a world where people with different viewpoints can be honest too.
I want to take a moment to check in with you. At the beginning of the session, you had an idea of where you wanted to go and what you wanted to get out of the session. And I want to know, you know, where you are now in relation to the beginning and where you would like to go.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely hold more hope. And just being able to process things aloud helps me release some of that emotion that I do like to contain. I mean, I don't know if I like to contain it. It's just a bad habit over the years, coupled with the mental health, coupled with so many other things and being a woman. And, you know, we put that pressure on ourselves more. And we know that. You could read a study out there to prove that. But yeah, just like, I want to move forward not holding on to that so much. And I also want to move forward as like, this feels like, for me, one of the most empowering experiences I think I have had in a very long time, because it showed me that I can move with this illness and not let it fully consume me, and that I can continue to live in my strengths, right? Of being honest and recognizing spirituality and love of learning and all of those things. And that I can lean into that pain point of like, okay, sometimes you take too many risks. Or sometimes you're not very thoughtful and it's just a reaction rather than a response. And really kind of recognizing if those are my kind of lower values or strengths or whatever you want to call them, then I can continue to work on those as I continue to love myself and continue to grow and be okay with who I am.
Is there anything else you'd like to add to that?
I don't know. I think I'm going to have to take some time revisiting that wisdom door we went through. And I'd love to have more of those sessions with you to go through the other doors as well. I think that would be really helpful. So what else do I want to say here? You know, LaShawn has been such a good friend and, you know, pointed out just a few shifts a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I tried to listen, but I also like didn't do much to address the shifting season of the illness. And whoever has this illness, they know that that shifting season, though, can be so quiet. And then you're in the middle of it and you are wondering how you found yourself in the middle of it. And that's, for lack of better words, it's just a big bummer. You know, it's like, it's just, it's hard. So, going back to where we started from, hope and self-compassion and tools and community, and recognizing like that if I don't have worth somewhere, it doesn't mean that I don't have worth somewhere else. That I think is one of the key takeaway messages, because again, like I said, we can generalize to bigger themes and be like, oh, if I don't have worth here, then I, you know, but that's absolutely not true. Everybody has worth and everybody deserves a place to let that worth kind of shine.
Yeah. And as you are, you know, sitting with this wisdom that has emerged in this session. And you're in that shifting season and it's getting really rough and you have a moment of isolation and loneliness. What is a word or image that can keep you, you know, grounded, that an anchor that you can take with you from this session?
So I need to think through that a little bit more, but the first thing that came to mind was just this idea of, somebody told me I was like a computer, like you have to shut it completely down in a way, right? When you're in that space. And I think that's so true for me physiologically. My brain has to have like a reset in some ways. So there's that, but I'm trying to think of another image. I mean, I definitely see my older, wiser self. I'm struggling for some reason, and maybe that means I just need to continue with more sessions and more support to keep moving through this.
That's okay. You know, it's sometimes just having it in your mind as a seed that's going to germinate and eventually maybe grow or not, but that's okay. So in closing out this session, what will be most beneficial for you in closing out the session?
I don't know. Maybe, do you have any thematic observation?
Thematic observation?
Yeah, or words of wisdom.
The first thing that your wiser elder self said to you, the most important, or what's important in this situation, is love. And one thing that sticks out for me the most is, and I think this comes out in how, in the words that you say and how you describe the situation and how you describe mental illness and how it affects not just you, but other people, this expanding sense of the world and other, like the others that were around you in that image that you had, surrounding you with love. And I guess that's the thing that's coming up for me. You mentioned hope, compassion, love, strategies, you know, asking for help. And those things are what's coming up for me.
I think that's a good place to be.
And how do you feel? Do you feel complete, or... what are your thoughts?
I mean, I'm always a work in progress.
Well, in this session.
Yeah. Oh, no, this session was magic. This is a good testament to how effective LaShawn is in her coaching practice. And just, I mean, aside from that, just as a friend and colleague, like holding space for someone takes up energy for themselves too. So while people didn't see the energy that LaShawn was consuming or creating, you know, it's part of this process. I just want to honor her taking that space to do this too. So
I appreciate that, Erin. I feel that magic happens, it's co-created, and your openness, your vulnerability, and your willingness to be so open and honest and raw, I think really contributed to the magic of the session.
Yes. Well, thank you.
So do we want to do coaching nuggets of wisdom, or do we want to just close out with the session?
Oh boy, that's a good question. I mean, I guess we could do a coaching nugget of wisdom, because I'm sure people would love to hear maybe like your coaching practice itself. Like, what was something you did that was a wise part of the coaching process? I don't know.
That would be that. I would love to hear that from you as the person who experienced the coaching.
So I will share, now that we're circling in on a coaching nugget of wisdom, that LaShawn did not try to fix me or the issue at hand or anything like that. She held space with curious questions and non-judgment, and how she held space too in a very gentle and calming way was very soothing for my nervous system and just really helpful. So I think those are key nuggets of wisdom. So if you are a coach, I think you could really look to LaShawn's work today and take some really good notes because she did a great job.
Thank you. thank you. I appreciate that. My coaching nugget of wisdom, I'm going to take from the wisdom that emerged in this session, and that is you don't have to carry. If you are struggling with mental illness or anything for that matter, but since we're really focusing on mental illness, I want to really zero in on mental illness. If you are struggling with mental illness and your concern is that you are putting too much on your loved ones, I want to say that, and this is the image that I got from Aaron's visualization, your community is bigger than you. And your community can hold what you think that you are responsible for carrying on your own. So my coaching nugget of wisdom is look to your community, look to the parts of your world that are bigger than you, that can hold that, and lean in on your loved ones.
Thanks for joining us for Coaching as Benevolence. I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place, Positive Intelligence Coaching.
And I'm Erin with Roots and Wings, Grief and Loss Coaching.
Have a benevolent day.